Well, I love all of the pharaonic connections to our songs and readings today. And, of course, the sermon really isn't that so much about Pharaoh. So I appreciated the opening that said you didn't know how to match things up with what I was going to say. I mislead intentionally. Something has changed culturally in America during my lifetime, and I'm not going to say it's better or worse, but it's different. When I was a child, there were war memorials from World War I and World War II, but not every death and disaster was marked by a memorial. When I went to Europe for the first time in 1964, 5, somewhere in there, those of you who were here last night know I don't do numbers. I think somewhere around 1964, 1965. I was amazed that every town had a memorial statue in the middle commemorating those who had died during the various wars. And it's kind of a reminder and has some good effect to it if it reminds people of the pain and not simply the glory. I always was confused when I would pass on a highway a memorial in Italy, in France, in Austria, a memorial for somebody who had driven off the road and had been killed in an automobile accident. This marking of death I found quite peculiar. And over the last 30, 40 years, I find that we're doing this now here, and I don't fully understand it. I do understand war memorials, again, both to honor the sacrifice and to remind us of the pain. But I don't understand the mysterious appearance of teddy bears at every crime scene and candles and piles and piles and piles of flowers and the need to memorialize all of our pains and catastrophes. And it seemed to me, in thinking about it, that Pharaoh's DNA is replicated in this kind of new custom of ours. That in Pharaoh's time, he was concerned, yes, with people listening and obeying and kneeling and all the other things, but was very concerned with his legacy. A legacy of stone. A legacy of stones piled higher and higher, and yes, size mattered in Pharaoh's Egypt. And of course there's an irony, because the grander these legacies of stone became, the more attractive they became to the grave robbers who wanted to come in and break in and take away all the gold and all of the food and all of the Egyptian word for tchotchkes? All the tchotchkes that were left in the Pharaoh's tombs. And so they had to go underground. Instead of great pyramids, they started building great caves to hide the accomplishment. But there was still this near obsession with a legacy of stone, a near obsession with not this life, but some other life on some other dimension. And certainly for the pharaohs, there might have been something more useful that they could have done with Egyptian talent and labor. For Egyptian talent and labor, there are certainly more useful things they could have done than spend their lives, again, the Egyptian word, schlepping stones to build great monuments for Pharaoh and celebrating an afterlife and missing this life. There is at the heart of almost every religion a tension between this life and what we do and how we handle the issue of death. And sometimes I think every religion can take their eyes off of the prize and make that prize in another dimension, on another plane, in some kind of paradise, and forget what it is that gives meaning and purpose and beauty and life to life on this planet. A lot of people who are critical of religion say that religion is just a system for dealing with our fear of death. I don't think that that's true. Religion at its best is for dealing with how do we create or uncover meaning in our lives. How do we build and reveal what is real and true and a true expression of ourselves and a legacy that is fitting, not a legacy of stone. Every religion deals with this tension, and it's inevitable because we deal as sentient human beings who can think in time about past and present and future. And we worry, and we wonder, and we plan, and we want answers. But there's this distraction. One of the old lines that used to be used about Unitarianism, and I think it's a really good one, is that Unitarianism is the religion of Jesus, not the religion about Jesus. And that's a kind of a nice bumper sticker. But, you know, a religion about Jesus is not a bad thing. The danger is that some religious practice in Christianity, and I'll get to Islam and Judaism also, some religious practice is about not the life of Jesus as being exemplary, but about the meaning of his death. And it becomes cross-centric. And it becomes all about, well, Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. And not so much about Easter and joy and feeding people and being with people and living a religion with other human beings and feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, healing the sick, and practicing religion. And so there are times when in Christian practice it seems to have a cult of death. Not universally in Christianity. Don't hear this as broad. But it's one of the ways where I think we lose sight of what the prize is, which is what we do with our lives here. In Islam, you have the same issues of memory and of pain, but it's not theological, Christological, as it is in Christianity, where there is a memory, particularly in Shia or Shiite Islam, of martyrdom. Of Ali, the son, the nephew and son-in-law of Muhammad, and his two sons, Hussein and Hassan, all of whom were martyred. And so the Shiites carry with them a martyred tradition, a tradition of pain and of suffering. And you will see sometimes during their times of repentance, during Ashura and Ashrin, that you'll see them kneeling and crawling and flagellating themselves with chains, even as in medieval Europe Christians did. And there is this distraction of pain, of suffering, and of martyrdom that can pull us away from life. This doesn't mean forget pain. This doesn't mean forget history. It means don't obsess about it. This doesn't mean deny death. It means don't obsess about it. The same elements are also there in Judaism, where it is supposed to be a religion of life, and for the most part is, but there are critics who look at the remembrance of the Holocaust and all of the museums that are being built, and some critics say, we're building them because we're afraid you'll forget. And there are other critics who say we're building them, but I'm afraid you're going to remember too much and obsess and become about victimhood instead of about life. This is a problem of balance in every religious tradition because we have to, as human beings, deal with the facts of life and of death and of meaning and how we are going to engage our world and whether or not we are going to, you know, denial and obsession are different sides of the same coin. When the pharaohs were trying to deny the power of death with this elaborate afterlife, they were denying and obsessing at the same time. And I see these same elements going on in our society today. And they are natural to us. But the issue for me is to find the balance. To find the balance so that we understand that our legacies are not stones. Our legacies are not that terrible bumper sticker, "He who dies with the most toys wins." I don't think so. Our legacy is the love we make, the healing of each other's hearts that we perform. It is the healing of this world and the concentration of what we do now while the light shines. As Shakespeare said, neither marble nor the gilded monuments of men are going to be our legacies. Our legacies will be reflected not in the size of our monuments, not in the size of our bank accounts, not in a statue that is built to us. I apologize, Will. But if you need a statue built for you, please see Will. But don't mistake the statue for your life. That's the point that I'm making. We all want to leave memories. We all want to leave markings. That's why in temples and churches and hospitals and museums, we have the divine chiseled graffiti of leaving our mark, leaving our name on the walls, because we do want to be remembered. But we also want to live. We want to live lives that are full, that create or reveal meaning, that nourish other human beings. Because in the end, it will not be the size of our monuments, it will be the size of our hearts. Hearts that are opened in love and vulnerability, hearts that are open to touch and to tears, hearts that are open to each other. And Pharaoh's obsession with the next life, believe what you will about a next life, but don't let that take you or me or us off of what is important today, which is being here, being mindful of this gift that we have, being appreciative that the gift is in fact a gift, what Christians would call an unearned grace that we get to be animated and to think and to worship and to worry and to wonder and to just be here together. The dead will bury their dead. Our job is to live while the light shines.